I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I hope you've got your Bible in hand. We have several that are out, some that I know are helping in other places. J.W. Geerin are helping out at Wiener this morning. Matthew is preaching in Pocahontas. He'll be preaching there the first and the third Sundays of every month, but they need somebody today, and Brother Joe Davis took him this morning. Appreciate him taking him down there to do that work. Brother Ross has been exposed to COVID. He's not sick, as far as I know, but for precautionary reasons, he stayed in. And there are others that are battling various ailments. And so, but I'm glad that you're here. I got a text just about 3 minutes ago from Sister Brenda saying that her mother will not have a CT scan today. She's continuing to battle a high blood pressure. That's what caused the brain bleed. You have to slow down when you say it. And so they're still working on getting that blood pressure under control, and may do a CT scan tomorrow. But she'll be in ICU step down at least for a couple more days, and then perhaps go to rehab after that. One other thing before we get into the lesson this morning, we've been trying to introduce some new songs from time to time, and then decided that we do that once a month. The first Sunday of the month probably be the best time for us to do that. If you'll make your plans to stay, probably. Night service for the introduction of new songs. But tonight, if you can stay, we'll take about a 5 minute break. Some of the young boys won't lead a song, and so if you can stay 5 minutes and then come back, we'll take about 10 to 15 minutes, and the Coos boys and Lucas will lead us in a song as they try to prepare themselves, of course, to be a value of the kingdom as they grow older and become Christians. So if you can do that tonight, we'll work on that this evening. The book of 3 John is a book that is written to a man by the name of Gaius. Gaius was a common name. I don't know any Gaiuses in my day and time, but Gaius was a pretty common name in the New Testament. You read about it in Acts 19 and Acts 20. Some accompany the Apostle Paul. It was found at the end of Romans chapter 16. And it's impossible for us to identify that Gaius with any of the others mentioned in the New Testament. I remember hearing a preacher preach a lesson one time and talking about the Gaius of 3 John and what we know about him. And he went to all of these other passages and pointed out what we know about Gaius. Well, we just simply can't identify him, at least not with any degree of confidence, with any of those that are mentioned in other passages. And even though he's a minor Bible character, I would have to describe Gaius as being a real spiritual giant based on what we know about him here in this text. I'm impressed with him. I'm impressed with his faith. I'm impressed with what he means to his brothers and his sisters in Christ. And there's a whole lot that you and I can learn from 3 John and the three main characters that are listed here. But this morning I want to focus in, if you will, on a prayer that was offered by John in the book of 3 John after he addressed to Gaius. And that is what he said here in 3 John and down in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul also prospers. I want you to think about that request that was made by John on Gaius' behalf. And really three things I want us to notice about that prayer and making application to you and I today. First of all, we want to talk about the prayer itself, which was for physical prosperity and health. Secondly, we'll talk about the comparison that is made, and then finally the priority that John had in mind as he made that request. Let's begin by talking about the prayer itself. When he said, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul also prospers. The prayer had to do with prosperity in all things, and I believe in good physical health. If we were to look at that in the original text, we find that all things occur first. In other words, that's the emphasis in the passage. The LSB translates it this way, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. In other words, the prayer on Gaius' behalf, that I'm praying that in every area of your life that you are going to do well. In fact, some translations, instead of the phrase prosper, say that all may go well with you in all things, or that all things may go well. In other words, in his business life, he prayed that things would go well. God. In terms of his physical possessions, I pray that you're going to prosper. In terms of your physical health, I'm praying for you that you are going to be in good physical health. And one of the things I learned as John prays for Gaius and these particular areas in his life is certainly that God cares about our physical state and our physical health. I've been part of some Bible classes before where the question has been debated, is it right to pray about physical things? Should we pray about someone's physical health? Well, the reality is the Bible tells us very clearly that God cares about our physical state and our health. That is certainly not our top priority. If we were debating in a Bible class what our top priority should be, the answer is always the spiritual over the physical. But that does not mean that God is not concerned about our physical needs and our physical health. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 27, the Bible tells us that it's something that God takes note of. Remember that text that talks about worry and don't worry. And he talks specifically about the physical things of life. I don't worry about what clothes I'm going to put on. Whether I'm going to have food on the table. Or I'm going to put a shelter over my head. For he said, for God knows that you need what? All of these things. Not only does God know that I need these things, God is the one that provides all of those things. When I'm praying about physical things, I think it's a reminder to me of where my blessings come from. I know that I have food on the table, and I have a roof over my head, and whatever help that I have because God has blessed me with those things. In the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, Acts chapter 14 and in verse 17, the apostles there in that verse said, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain and heaven and the fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know, one reason it's so important, one reason I believe the Lord commanded that we sit down at the table and before we eat of a meal, that we take time to give thanks. It's a reminder that the reason I have food on the table is not just by my own work and strength. It's because of what God has blessed me with. He gave me the health. He gave me the ability to work for a living. And he provides those things. In fact, he gives us everything that we have. You remember in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, the Bible talks about those that are rich in this present age. And he told them not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly gives us, circle this word, all things to enjoy. What do you have that you didn't get from God? What do you have that is not a blessing from his hands? And so, God cares about our physical state, and we should pray about physical things and physical health. Jesus taught his disciples to pray about physical needs, did he not? Remember in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 11, when the Bible said to pray, give us this day what? Our daily bread. Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 30, excuse me, in verses 7 and in verse 9, there's a prayer there by Agur. It's a prayer that exhibits great wisdom, but it's a prayer that pertains, at least in part, to physical things. He said, two things I request of thee, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. So his prayer was, Lord, I'm asking for you when it comes to the things of this life, give me just what I need. Don't give me too much and don't give me too little, because each one of those has their own temptations that are involved in that. In fact, James taught us to pray for each other's physical well-being. When a discussion has been had sometimes in Bible classes, it's sort of centered on James chapter 5, where James talks about, if any man is suffering, let him pray. If any man is cheerful, let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. And one of the debates that some sometimes has been had is he talking about physical sicknesses or are you talking about spiritual sickness in that text? Well, to me, I think, by the way, if you look at the broader context, it talks about both in that passage. But when we talk about somebody sick, how do we know it's physical sickness? We call for the elders and they anoint him with oil. That may either have to do with the age of miracles, or it might have to do with the medicinal value that oil had in treatment. But I want you to know specifically what he said in verse 15 when he talks about the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. You notice that if he's talking about spiritual sickness, it's not a question of if he's committed sin. You know what spiritual sickness is? It is being guilty of what? Of sin. And so the point of this passage is when somebody's suffering and physical love, is it right to pray for them? Yes, it's right. In fact, do you remember in Proverbs, you know in 1 Kings chapter 15, the text we just looked at this morning, that the Bible actually condemned Asa because when he became diseased and his feet, what did he do? He did not seek the Lord. So not only is it right, I believe praying and taking our physical needs to God would be a sign of faith. The psalmist prayed for his barns to be full. And we cast our anxieties on him, including anxiety over the physical and the material, because we know that God cares about us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So as John prays, John said, I am praying for really every area of your life that is going to be as good and as prosperous as your spiritual well-being. What I learn in that is a prayer for the physical and for our physical well-being is appropriate and it is right. But I think something else I learned in this text that impressed me, that is the comparison that is made. And that is he prays that they may go well, just as your soul also prospers. Now, some have concluded from that, by the way, that Gaius was in poor physical health. What this verse teaches me is that Gaius was prospering spiritually, and he was healthy spiritually. There's no other reason you would offer a prayer for every other area of your life to be just as your soul prospers unless that means that he was prospering spiritually. And there are some commentators that wax long and talk a long time about Gaius's poor physical health. I'm not convinced that that's a necessary inference to be drawn from the text. Let me ask you, have you ever prayed for somebody's health? I prayed when my children were growing up that they would be healthy. That didn't mean they didn't have health. It just meant that my wish was what? That they would continue to be that way. I would solicit people's prayers to say that I might have good physical health, that I might be able to do the work of preaching the kingdom for a long time. So far as I know, I'm in good health. If I'm not, I don't know. But the reality is that doesn't mean we can't what? We can't pray. So to say that just because he prayed that things would go well with him in other areas of life, I don't know that we necessarily conclude from that he was in poor physical health, but what it does tell me is he was in great spiritual health and prosperity. And I want to tell you, if God gave me the choice to be in good physical health or good spiritual health, what would you choose? Which one would be the priority? No doubt the priority should be that I want to be in good spiritual health. But what does that mean? What does spiritual prosperity and health look like? In fact, I think I get an idea about what that means when I look in this passage. I think good spiritual health looks like somebody who has the truth truly in them. You have your Bibles there in the book of 3 John and in verse 2. 3 John verse 2. John is talking about Gaius. And he was grateful for him. And he said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health and so prosperous. For I rejoice in verse 3, rather, greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. In other words, Gaius is a man who had the truth in him. You know literally what that means, by the way? It literally would be translated your truth. In fact, You may have a translation that said having the truth in you. He said they testified of your truth. And some believe that what he's emphasizing there, truth was not just something that to guess was some concept out here, but he had taken that truth and he had made it his own. He had implanted it in his heart. It became his. It was his treasure to guard and to take care of. In fact, when the truth is in us, what that means is we keep his commandments, for John chapter 2. So he said, brethren have come and they talked about the truth that's in you. That is, you were living by it. You were walking by that truth. In fact, that's what he said in verse 3, just as you walk in the truth. If you've got good spiritual health like Gaius, you know what that means? It means the truth is yours. It's in you. You're walking by it. But I tell you what else. Not only does good spiritual health mean that we own the truth and that we walk in it, it means we love our brethren. You know, one of the things that is said about Gaius in this passage is others were coming and telling John about these things. And it's not John just speculating about Gaius. Everybody he heard was telling, you know what kind of man Gaius is? You know what he's doing? And look at what he describes in verses 5 and verse 7 when he said, you do faithfully whatever you do for brethren and for strangers. By the way, that shouldn't be for brethren and for strangers as it's translated in the New King James. Those are two different groups of people. Other translations, I think, do it better when they say, whatever you do for brethren, especially for those that are strangers, that is, brethren that he had not met before, that were passing through. And he'd opened up his home. He had helped them, and he had sent them on their way. In fact, it's mentioned down here in verse 7, that they went forth for his namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. And the idea of sending them forward often in the Scriptures, and you can take these passages and look at them on your own time, is giving them what they need to continue on their journey. Giving them what they need to continue in the work of preaching the gospel. In other words, this love that he had was shown in action. It was the work he was doing. That's how they knew he cared. When one is spiritually prosperous and healthy, it means they hold to the truth, but it also means that they love their brethren and they're faithfully doing for their brethren. That's what Gaius was. And Gaius was spiritually healthy because he did what was right regardless of the opposition. And if this was a Bible class and I was to ask, name one of the characters of 3 John. If you didn't name Gaius, first of all, I guarantee you probably Diotrephes would be. And Diotrephes, the man who loved to have the preeminence, he prats against you with malicious words. He runs down people trying to do what's right. And I think the point, one of the reasons John writes to Gaius is telling him, don't allow him to keep you from doing the right thing. And you know, when one is spiritually healthy, then what it means is they walk in the truth, it means they love their brethren, and they do right regardless of what the consequence might be. And so when John is praying for Gaius, I pray that you'll prosper just as your soul prospers. In the background of that is the comparison of his good spiritual health. Let me ask you a question. What if the prayer was answered for you? What if somebody prayed for me and for you, and they prayed that in your physical life and in your physical health, I'll pray that it will be just as your soul prospers. What would your condition be? Would you be bankrupt or rich? The book of Revelation chapter 3, it described the Laodiceans. And in describing the Laodiceans there, he said that they were saying that they were rich and they had need of nothing and did not know that they were poor, miserable, blind, and naked. They were in a terrible spiritual situation. He wasn't talking about their physical poverty. But what he's saying is, spiritually speaking, you are poor. You are bankrupt spiritually. In contrast to that, the Bible, in passages like Luke chapter 12, and in verse 21, would describe for us the reason why our Lord came. And he said, that was about the Lord's warning, he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talked about how he was making many rich. What's Paul talking about? Was Paul going around telling people how to invest their money? No, spiritually speaking, he was talking about them being rich. If I offered a prayer for you and I prayed, with regard to his physical well-being and his business, I pray, Father, that it would be just like his soul prospers. Would you be bankrupt or would you be rich? If we prayed for your physical health, would you be malnourished or would you be strong? If your physical health was just as your spiritual health. The Bible describes those in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 who couldn't eat the milk. They had to eat milk because they couldn't handle the solid food. Why? Because they were still carnal. And the Bible describes in John chapter 6 in verses 27 and in verse 28. It talks about those that don't, Lord told them, don't labor for the food that perishes, but the food that abounds to everlasting life. They were after that physical food. But they were spiritually malnourished. If I prayed, or you prayed for me, that my physical health would be just like my spiritual health, would I be malnourished or would I be strong? Would I be blind or deaf? The Bible describes those who can't see, they're short-sighted, even to blindness, and having forgotten, they were purged from their old sins. Jesus described those when he said, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Would you suffer from some heart issues if your physical health was just like your spiritual health? You know, the Bible talks about the heart being the seat of sin in Matthew chapter 15. Would you be somebody that's got a failing heart? Are you losing heart spiritually? And if your physical health was just like your spiritual health, would you have heart issues? Let me ask you this question. If we prayed for you, or if you prayed for me, that I pray that physically and health-wise, he'll be just as his soul prospers, would you already be dead? You know, the Bible describes those, the woman in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, who's dead while she lived. By the way, spiritual life and death is not determined by who's present on Sunday morning. Or Sunday night, for that matter, even Wednesday night. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, you had Christians that were coming together, and they were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and they were abusing that, and the Lord said, as a result of that, some, he said, among you are weak and sick, and some sleep. You know what sleep means? Dead. There they were gathering together, but spiritually speaking, they had their focus so misguided, they were dead spiritually. I think about this prayer, and I've thought about it many times in my life, that was offered by John for Gaius, and I think, is that a prayer I really would want to offer for me? In other words, if somebody offered the prayer that every area of my life would be just as my soul prospered, what would my health in my life look like? It's at least a sobering question, isn't it? For us to think about and to contemplate. And so we have in this text, if you will, we have the prayer for prosperity and good health. It's appropriate to pray for those things. But the comparison that's made is the spiritual prosperity and the health. But the priority is that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Look down in verse 8 of 3 John. 3 John in verse 8. John said, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. It's obvious to me that the focus of this epistle is on the spiritual. That while there's a prayer for the physical, and while that's appropriate, the focus is on the spiritual. The prayer for the physical good was prompted, first of all, by the knowledge of his spiritual work, and the hope was that with good health and prosperity, the spiritual work could continue. So while there's the physical, in the foreground is the spiritual. You ever thought about one reason our physical blessings are valuable is because they help us in the service to God. God, we use our bodies in his service. Our bodies as instruments of righteousness to the Lord. Not as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but present ourselves alive to God as being alive from the dead. We give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. When God equips us with physical blessings, it helps us to use those in spiritual service. When God has blessed us physically, we may have to give to him that has need. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 and 19. In other words, the point I'm making is that when we pray about these physical things, we're not asking for these things for selfish reasons. In fact, James chapter 4 talks about you ask and you you not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own what? Your own lusts. In other words, I'm not praying for myself, brother, that we may be prosperous, because after all, there's some trips I'd like to take. After all, you know, there are a lot of things that I want, and I don't want to be bound by limited. Just give me all that I... No. But when I have physical blessings, you know what I can do? I can use those in service and glory to God, supporting the government. When my physical health is well, you know what that means? It means that I'm able then to do those things that we might, physical things that we might use then spiritually. We ask for the physical that we might have an eye on the spiritual. We ask for good health that we may live longer and serve the Lord. That we may be able to honor. You know, sometimes good physical, poor physical health. We can't do the things we like to do. I was almost brought to tears a few weeks ago. My mom and dad, because they were telling about my aunt was sitting in my granddad's room, and they were looking on something on Facebook. But it just said, if you had one wish and you could go anywhere, you could do anything, have anything, what would that one be? My aunt turned to my granddad and said, if you could just have one wish, what would it be? He said, you know, all I want to do, I just want to preach just one more show. Call one. And Christians here for years, but if I can do anything, that's all. You know, physical health sometimes prevents us from doing the things that we would want to do. But when we are physically blessed and materially blessed, let's always be sure that we know what the priority is, isn't it? That is, the priority is on the Spirit. And that's the focus of this epistle. What a wonderful prayer. As John prays for Gaius, I pray that in all things, that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul also prospers. I pray that your health and your physical well-being will be well, but more than that, I pray that your spiritual well-being will be what it needs to be, so that we can have a home in heaven with God. Get yourself books out. If you haven't already turned there, or you can look on the board behind us, who at the door is standing. The Lord is willing. He's waiting. He's knocking. He's wanting you to come in. He wants you to obey the gospel. If you're not a Christian, become one this very evening, this very morning, by being buried in the waters of baptism. Or maybe there's somebody here that, when you look at your spiritual life, it's not prosperous. It's not healthy. But you know, one of the great things about the Lord we serve, the great physician, is he can heal spiritual sickness as well. That's what he came for. And if you turn back to him and rely upon him, he can restore your spiritual health, and you can prosper. And you can have a home in heaven someday. No matter what your need is, take advantage of the opportunity we have. Do it right now, please.